I really didn't know what was going on all around me during the 60s, but that something was going on was crystal clear. There was the establishment, also known as them, and the freaks among who I counted myself at my junior age. So I might not have known exactly what we were about, but I knew exactly what we were against. We were against them. That included my parents and teachers. It was us, and it was against them. And I knew who they were, and I knew whose side I was on. And we were wonderful. I have to admit, we really were. It was inevitable. There had to be a confrontation. There had been occasional flare-ups. Little us against them, violent eruptions here and there, little standoffs. We marched and we protested, and we were marvelous. We were going to win the war. They got the guns, but we got the numbers, right? Wrong. When the confrontation finally came, it was so puny, and we were so ill-equipped to deal with it in Chicago. They hit us, and they hit us hard, and they hit us, and our faith shattered under the impact. There we were with our peace symbols and our slogans and our banners and our songs and our sandals, and they came at us with their army boots and their guns and their tanks and their batons and their tear gas canisters, and they mowed us down. They hit women and they hit children and they hit men and they hit students and they hit long hairs and short hairs alike. They hit all of us. They hit anything that moved, and we did fall. And then they shot us in Chicago. They killed us where we stood. And we were shocked out of our collectiveness. No, I take it back. We were embarrassed out of it. The confrontation came, and in the face of it, we were wimps. When the big moment finally arrived, and there they were, and there we were, we pussied out. They walked right over us, and we let them, because we couldn't fight back, because we lacked the courage and the conviction and the faith. There might have been more of us than them, but the enemy was stronger. The establishment said, okay, we'll make a compromise, but we'll make it on our terms. You can have your long hair and you can have your crazy clothes. You can have your marijuana cigarettes, but you get your candy asses off our streets. We'll end the war, but we'll end it in good time. But it'll be our time, not yours. Now go home. And we went back inside with our goddamn tail between our legs, and it pissed me right off. But nobody wanted any more confrontations. Everybody wanted to let their scars heal. Rest, forget the humiliation, but not Jim Morrison, not him. He'd show him. Nixon got elected, and in front of the whole world, Morrison stood up and called him a fraud. Four more years of this bullshit, he roared. How much more are you people gonna take? He was pissed. He'd do something. The first night of the First Doors national tour, Jim Morrison stood up in a house full of liars and told the truth. He stood on stage, drunk and indignant, in Miami, Florida, and told us exactly what he thought of all of us. You're all a bunch of fucking idiots, he bellowed. Your faces are being shoved into the shit of the world, and you love it. You're all a bunch of fucking slaves. You must like getting pushed around. You must love it. You're all a bunch of idiots. And everyone gasped, because Morrison was right, and they knew it. The room was still, but Morrison raged. You didn't come here for music tonight. You didn't come here to hear some good songs, to hear some good musicians. You came here for something else. What do you want me to do? And there's always some smart ass who will yell out just the wrong thing at just the right time. And this one yahoo screamed out in front of 15,000 people, show us your cock. Morrison was astonished. He blinked into the darkness. Is that what you want, he asked, implying, is that all? Because, see, here's the man ready to nail himself to the cross for us, ready to die for us, to wake us up, and all we want is to see the Lizard King's dingle. We weren't only wimps, we were fools. We didn't deserve Jim Morrison anymore. He wasn't only ahead of his time, we weren't in step with ours anymore. To ask whether or not Jim whipped it out in Miami is irrelevant. It's also stupid. It's besides the whole point. Whatever Morrison did that night in Miami, he did for us, and he was arrested for it, and he went on trial for it. And rock and roll went on trial with him. Now they'll see. Now we'll get some results, I thought. I mean, the man can't bust our music, right? Right. That's the last thing they could touch. It was the last thing they touched, and they put their dirty, pudgy, nicotine-stained fingers all over it. Rock and roll went on trial, and nobody cared. Nobody gave a fuck. Jim Morrison and the Doors fought in court with their own money to change the morality laws and the freedom of expression laws, and nobody came. Nobody listened. It was sickening. It was pathetic. No, apathetic is what it was. As most Doors fans know, Miami was the first and last date on a tour where the rest were either canceled by city officials are aborted. Each of the Doors escaped, flying to a different island in the Bahamas. Then one at a time, they returned back to Los Angeles to estimate the damage, to try and sort out what had happened. and plot out their next move. Everyone was still having trouble that this had really happened in America. When Morrison came back, he found a warrant issued for his arrest waiting on his desk. He announced he was going to turn himself into the FBI, an act I considered nothing short of heroic. We all braced for the after effects, still having difficulty this was really happening here. Jim hadn't wanted to really tour in the first place. Had this been his way of sabotaging the whole thing? Had his effort worked too well, or had it backfired? Had he let things finally and perhaps irrevocably get out of control? The night of the day that Jim surrendered, I was back at our family house in Westchester, sitting at the dinner table. At dinner, I announced to the gathering how Jim had turned himself in. For what? What'd the freak do this time? My stepfather demanded, since he didn't know how to ask anything nicely. I took a deep breath and, with pride, to the best of my 14-year-old ability, recited charges I only vaguely understood. The misdemeanors were public drunkenness, public profanity, and inciting a riot, I said. And the felonies were lewd and lascivious behavior and simulating masturbation and oral copulation. Those were the felonies. The misdemeanors I sort of grasped, but the felonies really had me quite baffled. I thought simulation meant like a drawing or a cartoon. And I thought oral copulation meant saying fuck, oral meaning mouth and vocal and all. Not in front of the girls, my stepfather yelled, whacking the table, doing the old silverware jump again. He meant his daughters, I didn't know that. Yeah, the girls in front of the boys, the whole audience, the cops too, I said. Young man, you have one filthy mouth and you will leave this table pronto. No, I tried to explain. I didn't say anything. Jim said it. I wasn't even there. As the trial began and the months dragged on, you could see the change in Morrison physically as the realization dawned on him that we weren't simply worth the trouble anymore. We weren't worth the effort or the price. Morrison grew a beard. He put on weight, and the leather pants didn't go back in a closet. They went into the trash this time. Fuck you, he said. You don't deserve the effort. He gave up. He gave up on you, and he gave up on me. But most frighteningly of all, he gave up on himself. And I could do nothing but watch and try and stay out of the way.
Then we hear a whistle like a bosun's pipe. And the carnival immediately begins, gradually mixing rain, thunder, bullfight, football, playground, war, penny arcade. Babylon fading.
Good evening, one and all. This is Widget. It is December 10th, 2010, and guess what? They pardoned Jim Morrison today. So, long live Jim Morrison.
Thoughts in time and out of season, the hitchhiker stood by the side of the road and leveled his thumb in the calm calculus of reason.
Hi, how are you doing? I just got back into town. LA? I was out on the desert for a while. Yeah? In the middle of it. the storm. Right. Into this house we're born. Hey, listen, man, I really got a problem. Into well, this world we're thrown. When I was out on the like desert, man, I don't know how to tell you, but I killed somebody. There's a killer on the road. Now, it's no big deal, you know, I don't think anybody will find out about it. But just, this guy gave me a ride and started giving me a lot of trouble and I just couldn't take it, man. Wasting it.
Shake dreams from your hair, my pretty child, my sweet one. Choose the day and choose the sign of your day, the day's divinity. First thing you see. A vast, radiant beach and a cool, jeweled moon. Couples naked race down by its quiet side. And we laugh like soft, mad children. Smug in the woolly cotton brains of infancy. The music and voices are all around us. Choose, they croon, the ancient ones, the time has come again. Now they croon beneath the moon beside an ancient lake. Enter again the sweet forest. Enter the hot dream. Come with us. Everything is broken up and dances. Indians scattered on dawn's highway bleeding, ghosts crowd the young child's fragile eggshell mind.
Wishful, crystal water covers everything in blue. Cool and water, wishful. Sinful, our love is beautiful to see. I know where I would like to be, right back where I came. Wishful, sinful, wicked blue, water covers you. Wishful, sinful, you can't escape the rising, sun is shining deep beneath the sea, but not enough for you and me and sunshine. Love died here, the wind cried.
One and all, this is Widget. You were at the Music House, and we were playing a little bit of Doors because they pardoned Jim Morrison today, 40 years after they arrested him. And now, if he was alive, he would be a free man in America.
I die before I wake. Pray the Lord my soul to take.
house, just a couple notes. One, I just got back from seeing Sofia Coppola and her new movie Somewhere, which is totally awesome. If you get a chance to see it, go check it out. It's a freaking awesome movie. Additionally, Jim Morrison was pardoned today, 40 years after he was arrested. So we're doing a little Doors. Enjoy.
Now show me the way to the next whiskey bar. Show me the way to the next whiskey bar. Show me the way to the next whiskey bar. Oh, don't ask why. But show me the way to the next whiskey bar. Oh, don't ask why. I tell you, we must die. Listen. We'll be right back.
asked for. Did you mean me?
Riders on the Storm. Okay, so there was a fast little crash there. I don't know if any of you have seen any of this stuff out there for the Tron movie, but it looks freaking awesome, doesn't it? Thank you. don't go anywhere. I'm trying to get back in there. This world is crazy.
I'm
I'm having the ultimate problem with Second Life. It will not restart. I've tried logging in like 20 times. I'm going to give it another couple tries, and I'm going to have to reboot my whole machine. I'm so sorry, game.
Returning from the studio when the unthinkable happened.
John Lennon was brought to the emergency room shortly before 11 p.m. He was dead on arrival.
Dr. Stephen Lynn of New York City's Roosevelt Hospital making the announcement that musician, composer, and former Beatle John Lennon is dead. Lennon was shot to death outside his New York apartment around 11 o'clock Eastern Time.
There were numerous wounds that entered the heart and the large vessels within the chest, causing a massive blood loss that could not be repaired or restored.
Dr. Lynn says Lennon suffered at least 7 gunshot wounds. Lennon was ambushed as he and his wife, Yoko Ono, were returning home from a recording session, allegedly by Hawaii native David Chapman.
And Mr. Chapman came up behind him and called to him, Mr. Lennon, as he arrived at that doorway. And then in a combat stance, he emptied the Charter Arms 38 caliber gun that he had with him and shot John Lennon.
As news of John Lennon's murder broke, airwaves around the world were filled with his music. Millions of Americans were seated comfortably in front of their televisions watching the New England Patriots battle the Miami Dolphins on a
sleep.
Music House, thank you all for hanging in there while I crashed like crazy. Enjoy the tunes.
York. She let me have the way back.
Yeah. say around a quarter to three. Still so high, hypnotized in a trance from this body, so buttery brown and tantalizing. You would have thought I needed help from this feeling that I felt. So shook, I had to get my breath. There goes my shirt up over my head. Oh, bye. Ooh, there goes my skirt up into my feet. Oh, bye. Ooh, some kind of touch for rest of my face. Oh, bye. Ooh, I'm turning red. Look at this beat. I tried and I tried to avoid, but this thing was happening. Swallow my pride, let it ride. And parted, but this body felt just like mine. I got worried, I looked over to the left, a reflection of myself. That's why I couldn't catch my breath. Ooh, there goes my shirt.
Music House. Okay, I went and saw Sofia Coppola's Somewhere tonight. It's this crazy new movie she just did, and I got to go see a screening of it. And if you get a chance to go see it, because it has the Hefner girls, those like young little twin girls dancing in this room, it's just fucking amazing to watch. Like, it's just, it's an amazing scene to watch. You just can't believe it. You got to see this movie, Somewhere.
Oh,
I thought I'd never see. And then, one day, I got in.